grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, nigga. Marijuana love. Do it, baby.
Let it roll. Let it roll.
Chris Fowley, do you need headphones?
Chris Fowley, traveling deck man.
Are the headphones on
traveling
outside?
Deck man. I love it.
His headphones
good
there.
Afternoon.
He's choosing not to have headphones, but his mouth is ages away from the microphone, so it's concerning.
Yeah, freestyling it now. Boy, no script.
Well, there's always a script. The script is going on around us, really, with Marijuana Media, I think.
That's right. That's right. We are neck deep in it. And speaking of which, so right now, tonight, in fact, just over the concrete plaza that, that you have here at the Auckland Uni, the beautiful plaza of concrete there, in the chemistry building, there is tonight, 6 o'clock, starting soon, and it's actually Massey Uni doing a stage takeover in Auckland Uni. And
They're mates.
Yeah. That's right. And this is Cannabis Decision 2020, and there's 5 experts they brought from around the world talking about different cannabis models. And I was actually just down in Wellington and had the opportunity to see them down there where they did it at next to Te Papa, and then they had an all day. I'll tell you who they are, because then we spent all day in a policy workshop yesterday with them, and it's now who did we have?
So
we
have both. Just quickly in the policy workshop. How many MPs are in the policy workshop?
Chloe was there, and Andrew Little gave a speech and answered some questions and things, but it wasn't really about getting the politicians together, because they're not really going to kind of show that much leadership here. It's more that they're following what they think is the right thing to do, or what the people are going to get behind. What are people going to vote for in the referendum? You know, it's my main point. It's not if it passes, it's what passes, because so, I'll only put forward something that will pass comfortably, that will be broadly popular. And that's what this day was about, was trying to work out a policy that everyone in the community can benefit from, so that everyone votes for it.
I'm just trying to imagine a policy workshop. Is it like do you guys like play out situations where it's like, okay, that's the law, and then you go, okay, I'll be the cop and you be the thing, and then everyone plays out the situation?
I love it.
That would be terrible. That
we used to do that at normal conferences. It's a great training, actually.
Does that actually happen at a policy workshop?
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. For your non-violent direct action and resistance, you know, you got to workshop these things and play them out. Who wants to be the cop? And,
yes.
You know, we've all been there. We know what they kind of can be like. And in fact, that's one of the things that came up in the discussion of models. One of the experts was Simon Lenton from Australia, and he looked at all the different forms of decrim they have in the different states there, and how the police, sometimes they still go really hard. So by on the books, it's saying it's decrim,
but
in reality, arrests have only gone down 10%, or maybe they've gone up even. And then vice versa, you might have another state where it seems very similar, but the police have a totally different attitude, and they're not going around trying to get everyone. So that's one of the problems with decrim, and anywhere that you have what you call a grey zone. Fiona Hutton, professor from Victoria, she makes a good point there, that wherever you create the legal boundaries, it's really important that those penalties don't go up, and that's what happened in Canada. So Benedict Fisher, one of the experts from Canada, helped write the laws there. He'll be speaking tonight. He was saying that some of the penalties went up as the kind of trade-off. So for example, you pass a joint to someone who's under 19, 14 years imprisonment potentially.
Far out.
And that is not like the intention of legalization. I mean, sure, don't pass a joint to people who are underage, but it shouldn't be that kind of penalty.
There needs to be a round taper off to these rules, though. Like, it can't just be like, here's the thing, and then it's like, oops, that's not cool, and it's just a massive ramp up of like, and I'm just making square blocks with my hands, ladies and gentlemen.
A civil offence.
Kind of like a pool with no curved edges, it just goes
for people and consumers, those sorts of things should be civil offences, but where companies are involved, you can have really strict offences, so it's a really strong incentive for them to act nice.
Yeah.
And in fact, that another one of the experts, Bo Kilmer from the USA, he talked about all the different models that they have there in the various states. You know, it's not all just one thing, they all have a whole bunch of different ones. And Professor Rosario, apologies to her because I don't have her name in front of me, but she's from Uruguay, and that was really interesting talking about the model they have there.
Well, they've gone hard, eh?
Well, it's legal there. You can grow.
A lot of things legal, though, isn't it? Didn't they go like a foul sweep of a lot of things, or did they just go?
No, they were the first country to make cannabis legal at a nationwide level, just a few years back. And
Portugal.
Sorry, John.
That was a while back. That was decrim of everything. So Uruguay legalized cannabis, I think, about 6 or 7 years ago, and you can grow your own. You can form a cannabis social club with your friends or colleagues, and form your own, or join one that someone else has formed, and then they grow communally as a non-profit collective.
Keep it in there.
Or you can go to a pharmacy and get cannabis that four different companies authorized by the government over there to grow for the pharmacy networks. You can get it through there. So you have three different ways that you can access it, which is quite cool. But no kind of just shops that you can go to, and so they've actually captured kind of the lowest amount of the illicit market out of all those models.
Right.
So it's kind of cool, but it doesn't fully, you know, do what you really need to do with legalization. But it was really interesting, and so what we did, funny you were saying about the playing off and the role play, because what we did is we used the software. We had all these experts that they did the presentation
algorithms.
So that everyone,
I love an algorithm,
and it was a real select group of people, I got to say, and you know, lots of professors and academics and stakeholders and people from various government departments and things, and we went through this analysis where you trade it off, because everything's a decision, right? Everything's a trade-off.
Yes.
If you want to generate tax revenue, for example, out of your legal model, then that implies you have a more open commercial market, and maybe some harms go up because of that, and then you have to spend more money on treatment.
So finding the harmony between everything.
Yeah, and so we answered about 50 questions through the software, and it trades off various, puts you off. And in fact, it's not even one trade-off against each other. It's a decision that leads to a trade-off. There's within choice A, there's a trade-off compared to another trade-off within choice B.
Right.
Because every outcome even has, you know, unintended consequences. So it was really interesting. And then from that, it actually says, well, this is the model that's going to give you the outcomes that you want from that process. And so, steam, you know, whirs and levers and this thing. That it was just like that. And then it said, number one model, government monopoly.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, okay. So what they do? All the algorithm has said. This is basically AI. The algorithm saying humans are bad. Just put it in control of
control
the man.
Everything. Yeah,
don't trust the mob.
And so I stood up and I'm like, hey, what's up with this? Because we haven't talked government monopoly all day, and there's no country in the world that does a government monopoly on cannabis. And you know, where'd this come from? And so while they were talking about all that, I quietly went over to the software guys and I entered in a new model. Which I'd like to introduce to the world, and in fact have early this week. Choice. It's the Cannabis and Hemp Opportunity, Investment and Social Equity Model. That's Choice with an S. And which is such a cool name for a New Zealand model, right? And it's running in a referendum, right? It's just like the perfect name. But anyway, so what it does is...
How did it go on the algorithm?
Number one!
Yes!
Frickin' number one!
Is this something that you've kind of slaved over with a little crew of people?
Right, I'll tell you what, I started writing it early this year and just thinking, okay, how are we going to get this? So we've got to have a referendum that appeals to non-consumers and that everyone can benefit from, right?
Yeah.
You can't just muscle your way through a thing. We're just going to smoke weed. It's
we
got to be something
country.
That...
We need a happy country.
Yeah, and it's only 10% of the country that consumes cannabis, so the vast majority of people that vote yes in the referendum aren't consumers, or will have to be, right? That's who we have to target. So we've got to have it that everyone wins, and especially if we don't want the National Party to just rescind it. And so thinking about that and thinking about the kinds of things that have worked overseas and have been in recent legislation that's gone through in America, where they've kind of learnt from the first wave, and they're going, if we could do it again, we'd do it a bit better this way. And all I've done is really cherry pick the best from all the models. So when I look even at the models that we had up in this workshop yesterday, the model that I have called Choice, the Choice model, is probably a hybrid of the top four or five models that were up there anyway. It's sort of taking the best from all of them.
Cool.
And it builds on the Drug Foundation's model that they released last month. It's not in conflict with it. It just adds an extra layer of detail. Builds on what the government's done. So the idea is it's all compatible, and it's just trying to provide a bit of extra detail. But broadly speaking, if we can just outline it, the cannabis and hemp, is just to go through the name, right? The cannabis and hemp part of Choice is that we're letting the hempsters into it, as opposed to the medical scheme where hemp is locked out. And what that does is it lowers cost structures dramatically, and it just widens it from warehouses in Auckland to farms out in the community, and something that ordinary people can get involved in instead of billionaires and millionaires, right?
Instead of cows.
And the opportunity is that we create a legal market that people can participate in. We wipe their criminal records, and we get rid of other barriers. We give people the opportunity to get involved. The investment is that we have a sales levy on the cannabis, so that, and that's a levy, not a tax, and a levy means you can target it. Instead of just going off to the government, you spend it where it needs to be spent. And that means all those stakeholders that are otherwise worried about things, they go, oh, my budget's going to double. Where am I going to get this extra classroom? Or are we going to get this extra grant? So, you know, people can put up with things if they feel that you're contributing like that, right? So you direct it where it needs to go.
On the levy. I mean, I can't really see the difference between that and tax. Doesn't it all just go in one
tax,
big pool?
Tax goes into a general pool, and the levy is targeted to what you're raising it for and what you're doing it.
You'd have GST
from the start on there too, so there'd be a tax component. Yeah. But instead of doing an excise tax, which you know that just goes to the general pool, but a levy or a duty goes to the reason you're raising it for.
So you go like the levy would be like, right, this money's going toward healthcare.
Yeah, you could go like, well, what I'm proposing is 20% into drug treatment and then 20% into education and okay. safer use right. campaigns. And, okay. and then a small percent you actually put into the expungement program. So you're not even being a resource drag on the bureaucrats and saying, hey, you're going to have to sign all these people to go through records and wipe them. You actually use the sales levies to fund that. That's what they're doing in America now. And as the levies come in, you start employing a few extra people to go through all the files and identify people with records and contact them and do you want it wiped and all that kind of
thing. So we're up to the interesting part here is just you couldn't find a letter, you couldn't find a word that started with C that related to choice, so you've gone with S.
That's right. Okay. That is the most Explain important yourself. Part. That Explain is the yourself. Most important. Now, social equity is the term that people are using for the good parts of these sorts of initiatives. So you, for example, you might... What I'm proposing is one of the major levers of social equity in this model is a points-based licensing system. So instead of whoever's in first, which is it in now, or whoever has the best-looking application rises to the top, that is literally what it is now, and the rest of the people just get delayed and ignored for months and months and months. So instead you have a points-based system where you can adjust the points depending on who you've got already and who you want to get. So you can have like bonus points, this is what they do in Illinois, bonus points for people for social equity applicants, which is defined as people who are black, who live in poor areas, and who had drug records, and have like lived there 5 or 10 years or whatever. So you really narrow it down to people who actually did suffer the harm, not just something wide like you have cannabis conviction.
Because if that didn't affect you. Coming in and going, all right, we got $1 billion, let's go.
Exactly, yeah, and then you can adjust it. You can give points for locals, or you can give points for people who are building facilities in the regions and employing people, or points for what they also do in Illinois is let's say you're not one of those social equity applicants, but you want to be able to catch up, and so that your application looks just as good. So you can voluntarily do all these extra things that earn you those points. And the end effect is you're a company that is behaving really well and doing all these things like environmental programs and really good employee programs and things, because that's what gets you the points. So the idea with a model like that, which, as I say, is being used in some states in America now, is that no matter who's owning the company, you're all behaving like nice people. You're all putting in the best application you can. I'm going to be better than everyone else. I'm going to do all these great things. And then they hold you to it. And if they find that you lied or didn't do it, your whole business is taken away and shut down.
Oosh.
And and that's what they do in Canada, right? So I think it's a really good thing. It's just borrowing the best from all the different models, and that's why it wasn't actually a surprise to me that when we plugged into the software,
What's the
it came
e?
Out as number one.
What's the E in
social choice? Equity?
Oh, right. Okay. Two words. I got you.
But hey, I've got to say,
I was like, wait a minute.
Kudos to Simon Lenton, the professor from Australia, and you know, you really should run these things past a few professors, because he was immediately like, oh, you could call it community equity.
I was about to say that. I thought I wouldn't be a smart ass and say community equity, but
no, it's decided.
Equity is a
it's decided.
No, all good. No, all good.
So you can hear all these people
Fucking
talk.
Fucking hell, professor on the same. Level as a professor.
That makes me feel real good, actually. Tonight, 6 o'clock, you know, it's 6 to 8, and it's in the chemistry theatre just here at the uni.
And people just roll up or what?
Just roll up. Officially, you're supposed to register, but I wouldn't bother. Just come on up. Chemistry 301, I think it is. It's one of the big ones just over here. 6 o'clock, it's free.
And where do people go look at this choice, but this choice, like the ins and outs?
It's Choice NZ with an S. choise.nz. It's up on the internet. I've even got it as a PDF so you can share it around.
That's so dope.
And let me know what you think. You know, I really want to kick the tires of it, and if there's flaws in it, we can make it better. But I've given it to the Ministry of Justice, and I know that they're looking into these similar issues. So hopefully it's got some legs and it'll at least have a bit of influence on them.
Awesome. Good on you, man.
A couple of texts. I know that this has been a long segment, but we'll just go. Aren't most things in life a trade-off?
Yep.
Levy system sounds complex in terms of admin. And someone's also said, I would love to donate to the MM segment.
How does
one go about this? You can get a B card or...
Yeah, get a B card. That's the best way to do it at the moment. Right. Unless you want to sponsor it. It's unsponsored at the moment, so you could come on in
donate
and...
Donate in small bits of rolled up paper.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah.
Just send us cup joints to Big Hungry at 95 BFM.
I was trying to be subtle.
Thanks, Chris.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.